Okay, this is Mosey Platt, your Miami Heat Index Heatcast. Today's topic, everything you need to know about the 2012 NBA season before it happens. The guests for this Heatcast are Alfredo Arteaga from HeatFreak.com and Big Shot Ron from the Section 357 show and BigShotRon.blogspot.com. All right, so let us get into it. The first thing I figure we'll start with is the preseason. So we're Heat fans, and Big Shot Ron, you're a Bulls fan, so we'll start with the Heat and the Bulls. What's the biggest preseason improvement? Alfredo, we'll start with you. What's
the biggest improvement for the Heat? On the Bulls, I think the improvement is it's another year together. Derrick Rose should have his game mature another year, so they're naturally going to improve off of that. The Heat, I think that Norris Cole is a real nice player, and they're improving over Bibby. And I think that the style of offense they're going to play this year, play a little bit faster, is going to actually save them, save their legs a little bit. As crazy as that sounds. So I think both teams are on a collision course for the Eastern Conference Finals, and I don't think anybody else has a chance.
Okay, let me ask you a question about this this new speed up, hurry up offense. That's supposedly developed based off the Oregon Ducks. I'm going to call bullshit. I don't buy it at all. The reason why I don't buy it is, I mean, you know, last year Spo wanted the team to play a faster pace, and, you know, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James just simply refused. You know, every time Spo tried to, you know, urge them to push the ball up the court, they just walked it up. So I don't understand how that's going to be different this year.
I think with the second unit, when Norris Cole is in there, he's young enough that he will listen to Spo, and they will play at a faster pace. Okay. So we're getting rid of a lot of minutes from plotting point guards that we had last year in Carlos Arroyo and Mike Bibby, right, and replacing them with a guy that does push the pace. Okay. So I think we're going to gain possessions with that alone.
Okay. Big Shot Ron, are you worried about a Heat team that plays at a faster pace, or does it matter to you or not matter to you? Where are you at with it?
I'd rather see them in a slowed down game. And the reason I'd rather see them in a slowed down game is I think, obviously, again, when you have LeBron James, the best athlete in the NBA, getting him in a slowed down where you can kind of set your defense, you can kind of keep 10 eyes on him, is to our advantage than when he gets it at a faster pace and he's kind of coming at you with a full head of steam. I think also an open style of game for the Heat, also you get Chris Bosh on the run. And I think one of the things that Chris Bosh does very, very well is that he's going to beat the other team's four man to the spot, whether it's going to be at the high post, the low post, wherever he's going to set up at. If he beats his man to the spot, he's already at an advantage. So I'd much rather see him with on Arroyo or Bibby, or if Mario Chalmers decides to ignore Spo and you all decide to walk up to Florida, that's fine with me. Especially now that we have Rip Hamilton, who obviously isn't what he was 10 years ago. So a 34-year-old Rip Hamilton in a half-court D versus him having to chase somebody up and down the floor would be fine with me.
Well, you know they're talking about having Bosh, you know, take trailer threes instead of, you know, dive into the basket. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. What's the big preseason improvement for the Bulls?
The big preseason is Rip Hamilton over Bogan / Korver / Brewer at the two guard. He's had limited preseason minutes, but you could tell that there's a difference. The Bulls, the biggest thing is going to be what happens with Carlos Bulls, and we'll get into that further on. But Carlos Bulls has lost weight, which maybe takes the pressure off his tootsie, so to speak. So the addition to Hamilton is a minor thing for me. I'm not as overly enthusiastic as everyone else is, but a in-shape, healthy Boozer is what I'm looking forward to this year.
Okay. What about out west? Since I'm assuming we all assume that it's going to be the Heat or the Bulls coming out of the East. What was the biggest improvement in the West in the preseason? We'll start with you, Ron.
Obviously, everyone's going to talk the Clippers and that whole saga. But to me, the biggest thing with the West is everyone comes back to the pack. Dallas loses Berea. They lose Butler. They lose Tyson Chandler. We know the Lakers situation is in flux. The Chris Paul trade doesn't happen. The Dwight Howard thing looks like it's not going to happen. So, to me, the thing with the West is everybody kind of coming back into the middle, which now opens the door for an Oklahoma City or my dark horse, Memphis, to make a real legitimate run, because there is no clear separation between, like, 1 through 5 in the West.
Okay. Alfredo, what about you?
In the West, I think the biggest improvement, I agree with Ron, that everybody's pretty much coming back to the pack. But the biggest improvement is that Rudy Gay is healthy. So you got to think that maybe Memphis will be improved. I know a lot of people like to say that Memphis is better without Rudy Gay. Me, I personally like having as many good basketball players on my team as I can. So you got to think that they're going to improve. And the Clippers are going to be relevant. They're going to be mid-pack, I'd say, all year. And mid-pack might be good enough to make the Western Conference Finals. Like, you could easily have a 6th seed win the West this year, because there's not going to be that much of a disparity. I think only Oklahoma City, and to a lesser extent, San Antonio, will have a separation in wins from everybody else. You know, but I think that, you know, Memphis and the Clippers, they're the biggest winners of the offseason in the West, at least.
All right, well, okay. So here's what I don't understand about the coming back to the pack theory. First I should say, I think the biggest preseason improvement is the Clippers, obviously. I mean, you go from a team that didn't make the playoffs and wasn't even in the running for the 8th spot to being almost guaranteed a playoff spot if they stay healthy. I think that's the biggest improvement. But as far as everybody coming back to the pack, San Antonio didn't come back to the pack. they got the same squad. I don't understand why, you know, I guess Alfredo, you gave them props. Ron, what do you think about the Spurs?
About San Antonio the way I feel about Boston in the East. And at some point, this window has to close. Yeah, San Antonio had a big year last year. They were number one seed. But the Popovich, Duncan, Manu, Parker rectangle, at some point, to me, time catches up to all four of those guys. And so I'm gambling it more on that theory than anything else. I just don't know how many times they can go to the well with that core and still continue to turn out well this year, high 40s and 50-win season. So that, to me, is more the erosion of time for me with the Spurs.
Okay. All right, so let's wrap up the preseason with the biggest preseason question. For me, it's Mike Miller's health on the Heat, because I made my feelings on Shane Battier clear on Twitter and on previous Heatcast.
And every day.
That's right. That's right. So, for me, the big question mark, the same thing as it was last season, that's Mike Miller's health. I feel like if Mike Miller's not healthy, the Heat offense won't be what we all predict, or what people predict it to be, whether they speed it up or not. Alfredo, what's your big preseason question?
On the Heat, I think it's Dexter Pittman. It looks like they want him to play around 10 minutes a game, at least. Can he play 10 minutes a game? Can he stay healthy to play 10 minutes a game? And beyond that is what's going to be the big rotation. I think they're going to have to play two bigs that we haven't, you know, been used to seeing, at least last year. I'd like to see who they are. But yeah, Dexter Pittman is my biggest question mark on the Heat.
Okay. Big shot, Ron. What's the big question mark for the Bulls in the preseason?
Is how long does it take them to get, obviously, Rip Hamilton in the flow? And the biggest question is, Boozer and Noah, how healthy can they stay? I think there's the difference between being injured. It's all about guys being injury prone. I don't really believe in that, but when you have a history of injuries, that doesn't just go away. Luol Deng last year played 82 games, high minutes, but he's still, to me, a guy who can be injured. So health is the question with this team, I think, going forward, is how healthy do they stay?
Really? Are you worried about that, even though the Bulls have, you know, I think they're going to have the best bench in the league this season, but you still worried about the health of the starters?
Because the way Tibbs uses guys. Luol Deng played 39 minutes a game last year. Derrick Rose was high 30s. And even with this compressed schedule, with the amount of back-to-backs and back-to-back-to-backs, Tibbs has not really shown to be a minutes manager. Like, Tibbs is a guy who wants your best effort at all times. So how they manage the minutes of their starters during at least the first month of the season, I think is going to be real, real telling. It's going to be real, real telling and real important. Because I think one of the problems we ran into against you all among LeBron James and the way he finished in games, but I think guys ran out of steam at that point in the season. So how they handle this regular season minutes-wise is real important.
Okay. All right, so let's go out west. What's the biggest preseason question out west? For me, it's the Lakers. If they don't get Dwight Howard, I think it's going to go to hell in the handbasket fairly quickly. I mean, I made a joke in my little mock preseason rankings today for the West that, you know, if they don't get Dwight Howard, I could see Kobe choking David Stern out at the All-Star game. But at the very least, I think there's going to be disharmony with Kobe not getting along with the coaching staff, Kobe going for 40 shots a game. I could just see it getting ugly really quickly. So that's my big preseason question mark. What about you, Alfredo?
I think it's obviously the Lakers. I watched both preseason games, and personally, I like to, you know, I don't care about preseason. But I do like to see, like, you know, what's coming off the bench. They look painfully slow and ponderous. And, you know, they just don't look like a good basketball team. Once you get past their quote-unquote big three, they really don't have much else. And, you know, you wonder, if they take one injury, how far down the totem pole do they go? Do they drop to the eighth seed? I'm feeling terrible about my pick as them as a four seed. You know, but that's, I think, the biggest, you know, question out west. The second biggest question is, you know, does Russell Westbrook improve off of last year? Does he become more of a facilitator? And if he does, then I think OKC is the runaway one seed.
Okay, big shot, Ron. What's your big question mark out west?
And kind of piggy off that point, we know how Mike Brown handles offense. And you now run his offense with a Kobe Bryant with so many years on the tire. Apart from the fact that, as Alfredo said, they're painfully thin, you're basically asking Kobe to go back into the 06-07 Kobe when he really carried them basically for two seasons. And I think that turns potentially very, very ugly. My other question is, we talk about the Clippers and all the hype. How long does the Chris Paul, Chauncey Billups backcourt, is that really, really sustainable for an entire year? Asking Chauncey Billups to guard two guards for an entire season. I still think the Clippers are going to have to pull another move to get a legitimate two guard. And with all due respect to Chauncey, it might be time for that 20-25 minutes off the bench, because I just don't see how. Especially we talk about guarding the Wades, hell, even guarding the Eric Gordons of the world, you're going to have Chauncey Billups guarding real two guards all season.
Okay. All right. One last question about the Lakers, since we all touched on them. What's the, you know, in 2006, Kobe went over 40 27 times. Last season, he only went over 43 times. So I say the over-under for this season somewhere around 15 games. Alfredo, you taking the over or the under?
15? That's a big number. Hey, but I think he's going to hug the number, and it's going to be pretty good. I think he's going to have a good season, because I think that he's just going to put everything that he has left into the season.
You got it.
I think his steep decline begins at the end of the season.
So what do you, over or under?
Under.
Okay.
But close.
Big shot, Ron, what you got?
I got under, and it'll be a slight. It'll be a better version of when MJ played with the Wizards. When MJ played with the Wizards, he could still get 40. But the next night is going to be 3 for 10. It's going to be 4 for 15. I think that's just where Kobe's at in his career. Every now and then, he could turn it on. But that next night, especially with just compressed schedule, it's going to be ugly. So I'll go under. I'll give him 10 40-point nights.
I'm going over. Because I think, for what you touched on, Big Shot Ron, is Mike Brown's offense that's run by John Kuster. And if John Kuster couldn't get along with Rip Hamilton, who's Kobe's boy, I can just see Kobe going for 40 just to spite John Kuster. Just as a big F you to John Kuster. So I'm going full Armageddon in L.A. All right, so now we got the preseason out of the way. That brings us to Christmas Day games. Let's get the predictions out the way. Celtics at Knicks. Alfredo, who you got?
I think the Celtics teach the Knicks a lesson, which is if you play defense, you have a better chance of winning. And the Knicks will look pretty, but they'll lose.
Big shot, Ron?
Yeah, very similar to how the Celtics opened up last year. I think the Celtics opened up. They beat the Knicks at home in the Garden by at least 10.
I'm going with the Knicks because Paul Pierce isn't playing. I don't think the Celtics can beat the Knicks without a full, healthy set of players. Next up, the marquee matchup, Heat at Mavericks. Alfredo, who you got?
I got the Heat, and not because I'm a Heat fan. Ring ceremony night, you never see the home team getting the rings, although they're not getting the rings this time. But it's basically the same thing. They never come out and perform very well. They usually have like a little of a hangover. That'll be enough for the Heat to grab an early lead and hold it the rest of the way.
Hey, Chiron?
It's the Heat are going to win simply because you're going to see immediately what life is like without Chandler, what life is like, with little Barea, who wasn't a very effective player. I think they're going to find out immediately when you take away those pieces that it's a little bit more difficult. So I like the Heat in that one.
Okay. I'm going with the Heat for part of the reason of what Big Shot Ron said. I think, you know, Tyson Chandler, by the numbers, was the most productive Maverick in the finals last season. And then add to that, Dwayne Wade was already murdering him when he was healthy with what they had in lineup. You put Vince Carter in front of Dwayne Wade, and it's going to get even worse. So I'll go with the Heat on Christmas Day. Bulls
put Vince Carter in front of me, and I dropped 30.
All right, Big Shot Ron, Bulls at Lakers. Who you got?
No Bynum. Kobe banged up. With a better matchup, at least somebody who can make Kobe work a little bit with Brewer. I like the Bulls by 10 in this one, too. The Laker thing is, I think, is just, it's on the, it could be on, not the precipice of disaster, but it's going to be tough. I like the Bulls.
Okay. Alfredo?
We already saw the Lakers look like really unathletic and slow. Now they're going to look really, really bad against a team that's going to pressure them throughout. I think the Bulls are going to destroy the Lakers on Christmas Day. And the next day we're going to have a bunch of Bulls are the clear-cut Eastern Conference champs articles. So I'll take the Bulls, and I'm going to make a strong prediction here, by 22.
I agree. I think it's going to get ugly. There's no way the Lakers get over 85 points against the Bulls defense without buying them and with that bench. I think they're going to destroy them. All right. Next up, Magic at Thunder. Alfredo, who you got?
Thunder.
Big Shot Ron?
This is be the biggest blowout of the day. It's Oklahoma City.
I agree. I think that ESPN, ABC, and TNT are going to regret every Magic game on their schedule this season. Last game of the day, or the night, Clippers at Warriors. Alfredo, who you got?
I got the Warriors.
Really?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. I believe in Mark Jackson. I think that he'll have them playing together. I think they'll push the pace, and it'll be enough to get these guys out of their comfort zone. And I don't like Chauncey Billups going against the Warrior guards. I think the Warriors pull an upset, a mild upset.
Big Shot Ron, who you got?
Way too much agreement, but I have to go with the Warriors. I think Monte Ellis will be the leading scorer on Christmas Day if he plays at least 40 minutes, because you're talking Bledsoe, Chauncey Billups, and I don't know who the other two guards they have available. This could be Monte Ellis probably gets 40 if he gets to the gym on time and plays the whole game. I like Golden State.
Okay, I'm going with the Clippers. I don't think there's any way Golden State wins this game. You got Steph Curry with the Grant Hill ankles. I don't like that. I don't like Monte Ellis with his freaky sex scandal. I don't know. I don't see how Kwame Brown doesn't foul out against DeAndre Jordan. And I see DeAndre Jordan erasing every mistake the Clippers make on the perimeter against Monte Ellis, who's not a great shooter in the first place. So I think it's going to be and David Lee against Blake Griffin, please. Please.
Yeah, now there's an issue. There's a definite issue. Blake Griffin and David Lee.
So, and Blake has looked like $1 million in these first two preseason games.
Right. So I think it's going to be Lob City by the Bay. So we'll see. All right. After Christmas Day, what are some big dates on the schedule? What else can we look forward to after the opening, you know, this great opening slate of games? Big Shot Ron, we'll start with you.
The Bulls used to have the circus trip. So apparently, since with the short season, they've exchanged that trip for the murderous East Coast trip to end the month of January, end of February, where they go at Miami, at Washington, at Philly, at the Knicks, at Milwaukee, at Jersey, at New Orleans, at Charlotte, at Boston, between the 29th of January and February 12th. This is where you're going to see how Tibbs really manages a minute. I think it'll tell you a lot about where this team is at. So the circus trip has been exchanged for a lot closer trip, but no more the less difficult.
Wow. Was that an 8-game trip?
It's 9 and 14 or something like that.
Wow.
9 and 14 or 9 and 15.
Wow. Okay. Alfredo, what's the what are the biggest dates on the schedule after Christmas for the Miami Heat?
I got for the Miami Heat, I have March 14th against Chicago in Chicago.
Okay.
But outside of that, we have an exciting matchup January 11th against the Clippers in Los Angeles.
Okay.
But the games that I'm really looking forward to don't have the Heat on the docket.
Okay, what are
those? And that's Chicago against the Clippers on the 30th. Okay, and we get to see the Clippers play against the real team, quote unquote. We'll see how they respond. And the game that I'm really interested in seeing, I know that they play on the 14th, but they play the 14th. I know they play in the same in the Staples Center, so it doesn't really matter. But on the 14th, they play technically at the Clippers. But I want to see them on January 25th at the Lakers, Clippers-Lakers.
Okay.
In technically the Lakers arena, to see the reaction of that crowd as the Clippers probably overtake them that day.
Okay.
So I'd be interested to see, you know, what's the fan dynamic between those two fan bases, especially what should be maybe an 80% Laker crowd.
Right. Okay. So we had picked out a similar date. I picked out the date of January 11th at the Clippers because I expect the Heat to go into that game with a 10-game winning streak. And if they can win that game, you know, they might be able to stretch it up to, you know, past 15 and, you know, flirt with 20. So I think that game against the Clippers is important. The next date I had on the schedule was March 29th when the Mavs come back to the American Airlines Arena. So that's a revenge game. And then the last game against the Bulls, April 19th, that could be for number one seed in the East. So that's going to be an important game on the schedule too. All right. Next up, as we go through the 2012 NBA season and tell the listeners everything they need to know before it happens, All-Star predictions. So, Big Shot Ron, you went all out with full All-Star rosters in your season preview. So, what I'll let you do is tell me who your starters are.
Well, that's truly just because it's a popularity contest. It'll be... I'm stuff here. Rose, James, Wade, Bosh, Anthony, I think will be your first five. I think Chris Bosh, I think, is going to have a lot better year in year two. And I think a lot of that 2.5 men and all the jokes, I think that'll kind of cease because of his play on the court. So I like 3 Heat, a Nick, and a Bull for the Eastern Conference starter.
All right, now I got to ask you a question. No Dwight Howard is on your All-Star starters for the East. Does that mean he's not going to be in the conference?
No, I don't know if he'll be in the conference. And when I made that prediction, it was very hesitant. I think he still gets moved to the Lakers somehow. Because I think the situation is too tense in Orlando, and I think he gets his way out of there. And he gets out of there just in time, maybe, to be a Western Conference All-Star.
Okay. So who are your West starters?
West starters, assuming Dwight Howard gets moved in time, it would be Bryant, Fisky, Durant, Paul, Howard. If Howard doesn't get moved, Bryant, Fisky, Durant, Paul, and Blake Griffin probably as your fifth starter. I know they like to do it by position, so let's take Blake Griffin out and say It'll probably be Kevin Love. I think he's still considered a center on the ballot.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Alfredo. Well, I'll go with mine next just to give Alfredo some more time because I kind of sprung this on him as a surprise. I don't know if he's got his list ready yet.
I'm working on it.
That's what I figured. All right. So my predictions for the East, very similar to yours, Big Shot Ron. I'm going with Rose, Wade, LeBron, Melo. I think we'll get a forward vote in over Amari and then Dwight Howard because I don't think he's going to be moved by the All-Star break.
Okay.
And then for the West, I got CP3, Kobe, Durant, Griffin, and then the centers, but I was stuck. I don't believe Kevin Love is popular enough to get voted into the All-Star game, so I'm going for the apocalyptic vote of DeAndre Jordan, which means that the country just gets swept up like a bunch of mindless idiots in Clipper Mania, and they vote DeAndre Jordan into the All-Star game. That will put three Clippers as your West All-Star starters.
Well,
shortly after that, I'm pretty sure hell would freeze over. But that's my prediction. Alfredo, who you got for the East?
All right, for the East, I got Rose, Wade, LBJ. And then here's where things get different. I think Amari gets in as a starter at power forward this year. It's New York. They'll stuff the ballots. And then a really grotesque thing will happen, and that's that Tyson Chandler will get a ton of votes, but lose out eventually to Dwight Howard.
So you think New York fans love Amare more than they love Melo?
Yeah, they'll put him in. He's going to get the first one. He's going to have a decent season. He's going to have comparable season to what Bosch is going to have. And they're not going to put three Miami Heat players in the starting lineup.
I know, but on the Knicks, you think Knicks fans are going to vote for Amare more than Melo?
I think so. I think Melo still has that mercenary's edge, which LeBron has down here.
Okay.
You know, so I think that, you know, I think that they tend to give Amare a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt.
Okay,
so,
that's fair. So who you got out West?
CP3 and Kobe. Kobe, I think, is going to have a nice season scoring the ball. Durant, then Dirk, basically just because they're going to put him in. I think LaMarcus Aldridge is going to have a nice season. I think Blake Griffin is going to have the best season out of any power forward. But Dirk's going to, you know, he's going to be on that, that veterans push, so they're going to put him in there. And then at center, I think Andrew Bynum is going to be the starting center. I think DeAndre Jordan is going to average something like, 12 and 10. Maybe 13-9, something like that, which is good enough to maybe make the All-Star team. But I think Bynum should have a big season, even if the Lakers are back.
I tell you, it took me 15 minutes just to figure this answer out. And the only reason I didn't put Bynum in, because he hasn't made it yet, so I was like, well, why would it change now when the team's going to be worse?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I couldn't get past that, so that's why I went with the lunatic pick of DeAndre Jordan. Which I swear to God, I hope doesn't happen. All right.
Well, maybe now there's more to get for him.
Maybe. All right. So for the 3-point shootout, I got James Jones repeating. Alfredo, who you got?
Yeah, I got James Jones repeating, and I got Steph Curry giving him a really, really good run.
Now here's the thing, though. Only reason I picked James Jones to repeat is because I hate Shane Battier. So I'm presuming Battier is going to stay hurt for the good chunk of the first half of the season, allowing James Jones to get enough playing time to warrant getting invited back to defend his title.
Well, I think, don't they invite the defending champion automatically every year? Because Daquan Cook shot for us the following year, and he hardly played.
That's true. Don't ruin my Battier fantasy, though. Big Shot Ron, who do you think is going to win the 3-point shootout this year?
I got James Jones finishing second to Anthony Morrow. I think Anthony Morrow gets the nod. You get that one eyeball winner every few years, somebody who just kind of comes out the blue. So I'll take Anthony Morrow as this year's the odd man, the eyeball winner.
I like that pick. All right, let's move on to the dunk contest. I said this during the lockout when they were having the exhibition games. John Wall is destined to win a slam dunk contest. And I think this is the season. John Wall brings the slam dunk contest back. where Blake Griffin left it, John Wall's going to pick that torch up and carry it further. Alfredo, who you got?
I think that we're going to have two Clippers in the dunk contest this year.
Oh.
And because we are going to have two Clippers in the dunk contest this year, and the fans do vote, right? Am I right about that?
I think they have input, yeah. Oh, yeah, they do vote. I'm sorry, they do vote, right.
They do vote. I think people are going to be so clippered out that there's going to be a backlash vote, and I'm with you. I think John Wall wins the slam dunk contest over DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin.
Big shot, Ron, who you got?
As we all know, old Kamish can play funny with the rules. And since this is in Orlando, okay, they will find a way to get Dwight Howard in this dunk contest. Oh. This would be like the Dwight Howard send-off to the Magic fans. And he wins the dunk contest, even though this is year 8 and he has no business being in the contest.
Uh-huh.
He'll be in it. And if he's in it, he wins.
Now, here's the question, though. Wait a minute. Now, you got a conflict here. Because you're saying that they're going to have Dwight Howard participate in the dunk contest, even though he's been traded to the Western Conference?
Hey, we know, as we've seen during lockouts and trades, you can make the rules fit whatever you need them to fit. So if Dwight Howard is in this dunk contest, he wins it. If he doesn't win it, I like either Terrence Williams from the Rockets, who I think the guy who should have got robbed last year, if he decides to participate, DeMar DeRozan.
Okay. All right. That's it for part one of the 2012 NBA season preview. Everything you need to know before it happens, from the preseason to the All-Star game. Check out part two, from the trade deadline to the playoffs, at heatcast.blogspot.com or on iTunes.